We are in a new series for this month, and I am so excited. We're talking about biblical friendship. And this is a topic that affects everybody, whether you like it or not. You may not like the topic of friendship because whether we understand it or not, we've all had good friends and we've all had not so good friends, right? We've all been wounded probably by a friendship or a relationship that broke apart. And that's tough to deal with. It's a hard thing to work through. But God has given us through Scripture what that needs to look like to be a friend, to have friends. And so today we're going to talk through. So not going to necessarily preach today. I'm going to be more teaching and we're going to be looking at God's word. But I just pray today that you are encouraged though to just look at who you are as a friend and how you can be a friend to others, because loneliness is the greatest epidemic that we're facing in this world right now. And I'm going to talk some details a little bit later about that. And the church, we are meant to be a community of people, right? That can be there for one another, that can walk with one another through life's hardships. And so this series is called Find Your People. And I love Myra. She had posted on her Instagram. She's like, found my people, found my church. And I was like, yeah, so good. Because that's the goal. That is the goal. You know, we all can't in here be best friends. But we absolutely can be a community that walks with each other and loves each other through it. Amen? Amen. So let's pray this morning as we get into the word. So Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. God, we honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Holy Spirit, we give you leadership in this place. God, thank you for your word that's living and active. It transforms us from the inside out. And so, Lord, we just ask over the next few moments that you would speak, that you would encourage, that you would challenge. God, that you would enlighten us to truth in our own lives. We thank you, Jesus. God, you care about friendship. God, you are our friend. You want to be our friend. And so, God, help us today to be open to what you are saying to each of us as individuals. We love you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. All right. So if you were to think about it right now, how many close friends would you say you have? You don't have to answer that out loud. All right. So how many close friends? Think about that. What about good friends or even people that you would categorize as acquaintance? So kind of think of those in categories. Professor at Oxford, his name's Dunbar, he says this: a person on average may have, all right, in their lifetime, about 500 acquaintances, 150 meaningful contacts, 50 friends, 15 good friends, all right? But the tightest circle of friends a person usually has is around 5 people or less. And maybe that's direct family or a few close friends, all right? And so we all realize, right, in the digital world, if you're on Facebook or other things, right, you have, like, lots of friends. Well, some of those people, like, I have people on, every so often I go through my friends list and I just delete people because I'm like, we don't really know each other, you know? We're not really in each other's lives, and so every so often I just do a filter cleansing of people because we're not really friends. You know, we might know each other or met one time at a conference, you know, years ago, and that kind of a thing. But friendship matters, and it matters to God, so much so that he talks about it in Scripture quite often, and in Proverbs specifically. So we're going to be looking at some of that today. Here are some quotes and some thoughts on friendship. C.S. Lewis says this: friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." So sweet, right? Irma Bombeck says this: a friend is someone who thinks you're a good egg, even though you're a little cracked. Right? Aren't you thankful for those people that even though you're a little cracked, they know you're a good egg? A British publication once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. Among the thousands of answers received, here were the following: a friend is one who multiplies joys and divides grief. A friend is one who understands our silence. A friend is one who comes in when the whole world goes out. Beautiful. And it's not just a friend. That's, again, it's an image of community. It's an image of why God created us for relationship. Amen. I want to read just real quick illustration. And I just thought it was so good. This is who we want to be known as a church. It says this: out of the furnaces of war come many true stories of sacrificial friendship. One such story tells of two friends in World War I who were inseparable. They had enlisted together, trained together, were shipped overseas together, and fought side by side in the trenches. During an attack, one of the men was critically wounded in a field filled with barbed wire obstacles, and he was unable to crawl back to his foxhole. The entire area was under a withering enemy crossfire, and it was suicidal to try to reach him. Yet, his friend decided to try. Before he could get out on his own, he heard a sergeant yell back at him and wanted him back inside and ordered him not to go. He said, "It's too late. You can't do anything for him, and you'll only get yourself killed." A few minutes later, the officer turned his back, and instantly the man was gone after his friend. A few minutes later, he staggered back, mortally wounded, with his friend, now dead in his arms. The sergeant was both angry and deeply moved. "What a waste," he blurted out. "He's dead, and now you're dying. It just wasn't worth it." With almost his last breath, the dying man replied, "Oh, yes, it was, Sarge. When I got to him, the only thing he said was, 'I knew you'd come, Jim.'" What an example, right, of the Jesus that we're called to be in people's lives. That kind of friend, right? Although his friend was dying on the battlefield, he knew that his friend was going to come for him. Dear Jesus, that we be that kind of people. In order to have friends, you have to be a friend, right? I'm grateful and I'm thankful to the people in my life all throughout my life. God knows what we need when we need it. God brought to me in my life friends who became family. My family was, we had challenges when I was growing up. I'm an only child. And so I grew up wanting to build family. I grew up wanting to bring people in to create family. That's why I love Cabbage Patch Kids, because you can adopt them, you can name them, and you can bring them into your, oh, thanks, here, you can take this back. Here, Johnny, thank you. Thank you so much. But that's why I love Cabbage Patch Kids, because they're a doll that wanted to be adopted and needed a home. So I've grown up with that as something that I absolutely love. I understand the power of friendship and why God desperately needs us to be friends and to have friends. But I also know this: there's a powerful reality that a lot of you have been wounded and hurt by people, and you're still carrying around the pain of that. Maybe it happened when you were little, maybe it happened in high school, maybe college, or maybe just recently. But I'm here to tell you this: there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he walks with us and he helps us through pain and grief. Through when friendships fall apart, he helps us. He helps us heal. And so we're going to talk about that today, why it's important to find your people, why it's important to be a good friend and to have good friends. Study after study reveals that people suffer mentally, emotionally, and cognitively when they're alone, when they're socially isolated, or when they lack meaningful relationships. The U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, he says this: loneliness is also associated with a great risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, depression, and anxiety. He said, "During my years of caring for patients, the most common pathology I saw was not heart disease or diabetes, but it was loneliness." There's a direct correlation to living life isolated and alone and physical sickness. We are not meant to be alone. The enemy of our soul, Satan, likes to get us isolated, likes to get us alone. Why? So he can fill us with lies, so that we're not around people who can help support us Community is one of our ways that we do warfare against the enemy, because where two or three are gathered, what happens? God is in the midst, and no longer can the enemy, right, win. We need each other. We need community. We need biblical friends, and we need to be a friend. Loneliness damages our bodies. I looked at a study by Brigham Young, was published in a medical journal. It says this: it damages our body so much so that it's equal to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Loneliness. This is loneliness. It's equal to being an alcoholic, what it does to your body. It's more harmful than not exercising, twice as harmful as being obese. Loneliness. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to be in family, to be in community. Amen. All of us need friends. Friends to laugh with, to cry with, friends we can share life with and confide in and entrust things with. Friends who have been and will be there with us through the thick and the thin. We live in a world where people are looking for and longing for deep, meaningful relationships. But such friendships today are hard. They're hard to come by, hard to maintain, because we live in such a mobile, transient society full of lots of distraction. So what do you think qualities of a good friend are? How can we build lifelong friends? Well, let's turn to Proverbs. We're going to look at some different scriptures in Proverbs today. Proverbs 18:24. This is actually in the Amplified version that I'm going to read. I'm going to read a couple different versions today. But it says this: the man of too many friends, chosen indiscriminately, will be broken in pieces and come to ruin. But there is a true and loving friend who is reliable and sticks closer than a brother, a faithful friend who can find. Aren't you thankful for Jesus, the friend that sticks closer than any brother? I'm so thankful. So we need God's wisdom in this concept of seeking friends and creating biblical friendship. We need his wisdom for finding friends, for forging friendships, and being a true friend. And those are the things we're going to look at today. So number one, let's look at this. Finding your people. Do you have your people? Are they around you? Do you have that support system in your life? Are you that person in somebody else's life? This is what we're looking at today, and I want to challenge you to take a look at your own heart and your own life as we walk through this. Thomas Aquinas said this: there's nothing on this earth more to be prized than friendship. God has given us the gift of each other, the gift of friendship. Unfortunately, we often treat relationships as consumers. We befriend for the benefits that we receive. And like a contract, when the relationship doesn't meet our expectations or no longer benefits us, we decide that we're done and we move on. Naturally, when we look for friends, we want to connect with people who have the same things in common, right? Like sports and hobbies and music and food. Things you enjoy doing. We look for people that have the same interests. That's important, right? You want to be around people that are like-minded. Amen? Proverbs 12:26 says this in the New King James Version: the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. So Scripture is telling us it's important who we choose as friends. Don't take that lightly. They say that you become like the five closest people to you. So whoever the five closest people that in your life right now, that's who you are on the road to becoming. So you need to take a look at that. Make sure you've got wise choices around you. In Hebrew, the word translated this way: the righteous searches out, meaning he makes a careful and diligent and penetrating examination in order to find a close friend that he can confide in. That righteous chooses. They do that on purpose, specifically seeking out the person to be their friend. Proverbs strongly encourages the reader to pursue wisdom and choose friends among the wise. Your circle matters, but who's in your corner matters even more, because there's a difference. You can be surrounded by a lot of people and still feel really alone. You need people who are in your corner. Amen. We all long for friends that we know will be there for us through tough times. We need friends who are honest and faithful, who have integrity, people that we can trust, people who will tell it like it is, and who give us wise advice. We long for these types of friendships, and we need to learn to be these types of friends. Amen. So it's important to find your people. The next thing is this: we got to forge friendships. You saw in the video, right, that anvil forging. The word forge means to make, to shape by heating in a fire and hammering it. Iron sharpens iron is not fun. You need people in your life that can help you be better, that can point out the areas where you're just off a little bit in love, right? You need that kind of friendship, but it's got to be forged. It doesn't come easy. Those things are not easy. So what are some of the characteristics necessary for long-lasting friendships? Now, there's a whole list that we could make, but here, I'm going to give you one today, but there's a lot of things that we could add to this list. But the first one, I believe, is faithfulness. You want a faithful friend. Proverbs 27:10, turn with me there. And it says this: never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's. When disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your brother for assistance. It's better to go to a neighbor than to a brother who lives far away. Never abandon a friend. I love this. When disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your brother for assistance. Why? Because they'll already have been there. Back to the military story. The brother just knew he was going to show up. He was going to come, no matter what. Faithfulness matters. Proverbs 26 says this: many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? May it be said of you that you're a faithful friend to those in your circle. An American journalist described it this way: a real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Have you ever felt like the world's walked out on you? But you've had some people up close to you that have been there? Thank the Lord for our friends. Amen. Another characteristic of a good friend is this: forgiveness. That's an important part, because guess what? You're not going to always get along with the people in your life, right? Anybody ever have any misunderstandings with people? Just me. I'm the only one in the room. Okay. Forgiveness is a huge part of lasting friendship. A loyal and loving friend will cover a multitude of sin. Proverbs 17:9 says this: love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Forgiveness is a huge key in any relationship, whether you're married, whether you're dating, whether you're in a friendship. Quick to forgive, because guess what? Jesus has forgiven us of a whole lot worse, and he freely gives that to us, and so we must also freely give that to others. Amen. Another good characteristic is this: a good friend gives good advice. Proverbs 27:9 says this: oil and perfume make the heart glad, so a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. It is important who you're listening to, who's speaking into your life, who has that ability. You want to pick wise friends so they can speak wise counsel. You want to pick people who know Jesus and love Jesus so that the counsel that you're getting is from the Word of God, not from the world. Do we seek out friends who we know that will counsel us to do right, even when it's uncomfortable or convenient? Unfortunately, most of us have received bad counsel before, but whether from our coworkers or maybe our friends or family. But how sweet is wise counsel when it comes from the heart of a friend? Another characteristic of a good friendship is this: honesty. I know these are simple. These aren't things, this nothing new here today, right? You're not learning anything new, but hopefully you're being reminded and challenged as to what kind of friend you are. Honesty. We all need a little bit more of that in our life. Proverbs 24:26 says this: an honest answer is like a kiss of friendship. A person who gives an honest answer is one who answers the question and doesn't avoid it. He or she doesn't give vague, devious, or distorted answers. In this person's words, they're straight, they're fair, they're truthful, they're righteous. Don't we appreciate people who have candor rather than those that do not? It's important that we speak honestly and truthfully. The Bible says, speak the truth, but do it in love and out of care. Another characteristic is this, love. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in a time of need. This means that when you're facing difficult situations, you really discover who your friends are. The love of a true friend is constant. They love you even when your friendship is severely tested. Their love is sacrificial. No matter what, they are committed to you, and because they love you and care about you, they're going to be there. They're going to be loyal. Which leads us to the next characteristic, loyalty. These are important things that we just don't hear as much about these days, right? We watch our world and it's just so dark and opposite of these characteristics we've been talking about. But if you want to have true biblical friendship, take note of these characteristics and ask the Lord to help you to be those things. Loyalty is this, Proverbs 18:4. Wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. Thank you, Jesus. We know that finding these types of friends is rare, but when you find friends like this, you have really, truly found a treasure. You found your people. Ones that are loyal, ones that are honest, ones that love, ones that are there for you. What else do we look for in a friend? Respectful confrontation. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. Sparks fly when iron sharpens one another. If you guys have ever done that, seen that, sparks fly. So it's not always going to be fun having somebody in your life that's going to sharpen you. But that's the point. We are in each other's lives to make each other better. A true friend may be thinking, what in the world are you doing? But they ask their friends, do you think this is a wise decision? That's a true friend, somebody that will stand in the way and ask you, are you sure about that? Have you prayed about that? Is that wise? See, those are good people. That's when you found your people, when they can speak into your life like that. Proverbs 27:5 says this, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. I love Proverbs. It's just so plain and simple and truth, right? An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Better for somebody to confront you about something out of love than not tell you and you run off the cliff because they didn't tell you about the cliff. That's not love, right? Love says, hey, you're about to go off a cliff. You might want to stop. True friends will tell you what you need to hear, while fair weather friends will tell you what you want to hear. There's a difference. So we know what it takes to be a true friend, but just where are these friendships found? Where are they forged? Where do you even go, right? Well, church. Church is a good place to start, right? A community of people that say my heart and soul, right? That's a great place. Another place is life groups, Bible study groups. When you're serving together on a team, when you're setting up an event, right? You get to be around people. These friendships go beyond just having things in common. These friendships are forged when you walk through tough times together, having the same eternal values, the love for God, for his church, love for the lost, a desire to serve and bring people into his kingdom. That forges friendship, forges that connection. It's important to find the right friends to build meaningful relationships. But it also entails then that personal responsibility of us then being a true friend. I've heard often people are like, well, I don't have friends. My question is, well, are you friendly? Do you have a label on your head that says, not interested? Do you keep people at bay? You might want to check that out. If you don't have a lot of friends right now, you might want to take a look at what you're putting out there. The Lord can help you. He can take off that label. He can put on a new one. Says fun, looking for a friend, right? Makes a difference. It makes a difference. You have to be friendly to have a friend. You have to reach out. If you are not connected at this church, I'm going to tell you something. It's not because we haven't tried. It's because you haven't been plugging in. You haven't been stepping in to what's available. You got to take the step and get connected in to certain things so that you can get to know people. You got to let your heart, Now I'm going to tell you something. It can be hard and painful, especially as adults, to like add more people into your circle, into your corner, right? It can be difficult because you're like, I'm good. I got family. I got my friends. I don't need any new people. And it can be sometimes risky because you might let somebody in, and then maybe a little while later, there might be some heartbreak. That doesn't mean you stop doing it, okay? It doesn't mean you quit. Even if that happens, God walks through. He can help heal. And you just have to get back up on the friend wagon and do it again, you know? I've been there, even recently, in the last couple of years, gone through some friendship heartache, and the Lord has been good and walked through it. But I'll tell you, that is not fun stuff. It's not fun because the Lord has meant for us to walk with people. So we got to be a true friend. So the question is, are you being a friend to others? We see this caliber of friendship that is always faithful and loyal and loving and honest and unselfish, that it's committed to the well-being of others no matter the cost. But that really can only point to one person who can really do it all the best way, right? The only one who was willing to endure incredible wrongs against himself was Jesus. So he's like the perfect friend, all right? Like he really is like our best friend, the one that can do it the best. But we're to be examples. We are to be like him to other people, right? We're to show that same example. So here's the question. How can I be a friend to others? Well, by walking with them and learning from Christ's example, the example of selfless humility. He calls us to be friends, not only with him, but with others, right? We're to love God and love each other. But how are we to know we're his friend? Good question. He said, you are my friend if you do what I command. And what are his commands? He says to love each other the way I've loved you. If we truly love God and others, we will be faithful. We'll be honest. We'll be forgiving and we'll be loyal. We'll be these characteristics if we really truly are walking in that example of Christ. Yeah. Amen? Amen? In order to have friends, you must be a friend. Proverbs 18:24 says this. It's coming. It's not on there? Okay, we'll look it up. Proverbs 18:24. Sorry about that. It says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. That's what we want, right? That's the kind of friend we want to be. Sticks closer than a brother. John 15:13. Turn with me to there. Friendship in the Bible is all about laying down one's life, giving it up. You guys doing good? Yes. John 15:13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. We watch Jesus, who set the greatest example, right? Lay down his life. For the world. God loved the world so much that he gave his son, right? There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friend. So true friendship wants nothing for itself. It goes along with the old adage that it's better to give than receive. It's better to give of yourself to others than expect others to give to you. It's okay to be a giver. God rewards those who give. And it doesn't have to, I know some people are like, well, I'm the one who always calls, or I always make the plans, or I always have to. Okay. It's okay. We're called to be givers, right? One of the true marks of a friend is that he or she is there when there's every reason for them to not be, and when it costs them sacrificially. That's how you know. When they show up when it's not super convenient for them. The last scripture is this, and then we'll close. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. It says this. And often this is used in weddings, all right? And there's lots of beautiful meaning having to do with a marriage relationship. But this also has to do with friendship as well. It says, two are better off than one. For if they can help each other succeed. If one falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. And then verse 12. But how can we be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. I love that visual. Stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So when we're talking about friendship, right, that back-to-back, and then there's Jesus, right? So you want your relationships, your friendships, to have Jesus at the center. He's the main thing. Amen? Amen. The writer of Ecclesiastes wants us to understand that friendship is God's idea, and it's a good investment. How many in here like to make good investments? Anybody? Okay. A good return means that dividends pay on a wise investment. Developing, pouring into friends, being a good friend, those are wise investments. Actually, the very best ones that you'll make in this life. So the question is, how are your relationships? How are your friendships? And whoever's coming up, you can come up. I'm going to get ready to close. Are you surrounded by good friends? Are you a good friend? There's a lot of questions here today. Let the Holy Spirit challenge you in some of those areas. But the goal is to find our people, right? We're not meant to be alone. That's the enemy's tactic, all right? So if you're feeling isolated, you're feeling alone, you're feeling like you don't have friends, that nobody knows you, that nobody sees you, that's all from the enemy. That is not God. Those are lies and those are tactics of the enemy to get you by yourself. Because then he has you. We're meant to be in community. We're meant to be in each other's lives. We're meant to have good friends and to be a friend. Friendship was God's idea. So much so that he wants to be our friend.